بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, continuing with the tafsir of that portion that is recited in the Taraweeh Salah. Tonight, alhamdulillah, we heard the 25th juz of Quran. Last night we heard the 24th juz, which begins with Surah Az-Zumar. Surah Az-Zumar begins in the last quarter of the 23rd juz, and thereafter continues into the 24th juz. And in this particular surah, one of the main themes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses and brings to our attention, as we had mentioned in the morning as well, last week, is the aspect of ikhlas, sincerity, what is known as lillahiyat, that a person does, says and acts only and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any desire of any worldly recompense, any benefit coming to him from somebody. Whatever he does, whatever decisions he makes, whatever act of ibadat he does it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three different verses are mentioned in the surah, where Allah draws our attention to this. The second verse of the surah, Allah says, "Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil-haq, fa'budillaha mukhlisan lahuddin." That indeed we have revealed this Quran to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, devoting your worship solely to him, making your worship, your deen, your acts of ibadat only and solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, a few pages later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions again, قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. That O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the people, I have been commanded to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, devoting my worship solely to him. And thereafter, a few verses later, again, for the third time, Allah reiterates this concept, قُلِ اللَّهَ أَعْبُدُ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ دِينِ. Say, it is Allah alone that I worship, making my worship and my deen solely and only for him. When it comes to ikhlas, sincerity, lillahiyat, we had mentioned before the incident of Muhajir Umm Qais, that person who, during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wants to marry a certain woman. This woman makes a condition with him, that if you migrate from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, then only will I accept your proposal and marry you. This was the time where it was fard for every person in Makkah who had the means to migrate to Medina Munawwara. So this person leaves Makkah Mukarramah, he makes hijrah, he goes to Medina, but his intention is not to fulfill the command of Allah, that this is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah wants us to make hijrah. His intention, his objective is that I want to secure the proposal of this particular woman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter explains that person who's فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مْرَأَةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. That person whose hijrah, and likewise any other amal, any other action that he does in this world, is to secure the nikah of some woman, to secure some dunya or some benefit of this dunya, then he will get that particular reward or that particular benefit, he will attain it. But he will not get the reward of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find when it comes to ikhlas and sincerity, ulama explain that this is something logical, that a person does only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this world also we understand that a person looks to that avenue or to that person or that place where he can secure the most benefit for himself. Ulama explain by means of an example, that you have a company and there is some vacancy in the company. So they send out a message that we have this post or this position that is on offer, and applicants should send in their CV. So people send in their CV. And thereafter the managers look at the CVs of the different people, and they see one person sends his CV, he is qualified for the job at hand, but he doesn't have any other skills. His skills are limited to just one or two areas, and he is asking for a very high salary. On the other hand, the second person sends in his CV, he's got a vast array of skills. He's skilled in different things that he can do in that company. He can assist them in different ways. But at the bottom there, he writes that I'm only available Monday to Thursday. Friday and the weekend, I'm not available, I can't work. And he also is asking for a high salary. And then you have a third person. On his CV, we find he's skilled in every aspect. Whatever work and whatever functions that company has, he is skilled, he can assist them. And not only this, he mentions that I can work 365 days a year. I'm ready to work the entire year. I won't even take my sick leave. And his salary is the same as the first two, the salary that he is requesting and asking for. So of course, the company will choose the third person. This is a person we're paying the same amount to. But the benefit and the reward or what we can get out of him is far greater than the others. In the same way ulama explained, when it comes to the ibadat that a person does, a person reads 2 rakats of salah, for example. One is, now I read the 2 rakats of salah, and my goal, my objective is I want to please some person. That somebody will see me reading the salah, they'll see my postures, they'll see how long I'm in sajda, and I'll get some benefit from him. He'll praise me, he'll say something nice to me, he'll say, mashallah, such a pious person you are. So I will get some benefit from him. Or perhaps the person goes one step further, not only does he praise me, but now he starts speaking highly of me to others, that this person is very pious, I watched him reading salah, and his ruku is so long, his sajda is so long. So I will get benefit from these people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the benefit I can offer you. Look at what I can give you. You perform that same 2 rakats of salah, the same ruku, the same sajda, but do it for me. I'm prepared to give you my maghfirat, my rahmat, my rizq, my sustenance, my afiyat, my protection. Why you want to do it for somebody else? He can give you limited benefit. One or two words of praise and it's gone. Ulama said, praise also is hot air. The words come out, it's not even tangible. You can't even hold it or store it or put it in your bank account. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to give us as long as we do solely and only for His pleasure. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call that person who is the Qari of Quran, the reciter of Quran. And Allah will say to him that I favored you with a good voice. I favored you with the knowledge of Quran and the knowledge of Tajweed. How did you use this bounty, this ni'mat of mine? The person will reply, oh Allah, I accepted this ni'mat in favor of yours, and day and night I recited the Quran for your pleasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, kadhabta. You are speaking lies. The person will say, oh Allah, here's the proof. How many khatams I completed? How much of ibadat I did? How many times I recited the Quran cover to cover? Day and night, not a single day would go without me opening the Quran. Allah will say to him, but you didn't do it for me. You did it so that people can say you are a good reciter of Quran. Similarly, a person who went in jihad, he fought with bravery. He was martyred also. And he'll say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I fought in your path, and I was martyred in your path for your pleasure. Allah will say to him, you're lying. You did it so people can say you are fighting bravely, that you are mujahid, and you have given your life in the path of Allah. Now go straight to the fire of Jahannam. Allah protect us. Allah save us. Hazrat Muhammad Hamid sahab, da'am barakatun, gives the example of that Haji sahab, who performed not one or two hajj, but 5 hajj he performed. And somebody comes to visit him, and the Haji sahab now wants to show that I'm not just a beginner Haji. I performed not just one or two, but 5 hajj I've done in my life. So he says to his son, bhai, go and bring the zamzam water from my 5th hajj. The zamzam water that I brought back from my 5th hajj. Bring it and serve it to the guests. Maulana says in one statement, he destroys the reward of 5 hajj. One statement, because he's trying to show, this is what I have done, what I have achieved. Ulama say the good deeds that a person does, we should bury it like how we bury our evil deeds. Person does some guna, some mistake, some slip up in his life. How he hopes nobody comes to know about it. My own wife and children mustn't know what I did. The musallis in the masjid mustn't know what I did. People know what I did, they won't even look at me. Ulama say in the same way, ikhlas, sincerity means that we bury our evil deeds just like we bury our good deeds. And those good deeds we do, or rather we bury our good deeds just as we bury and conceal our evil deeds. And we do it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, towards the end of the first quarter of the 24th Juz, there is one verse which we have heard many times over and over again. And this verse gives a lot of hope, a lot of solace for sinful people like myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, that O Nabi of Allah, say to my slaves, O my slaves, who have oppressed themselves, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. This word أَسْرَفُوا, normally we hear the word إِسْرَاف, which we translate loosely as extravagance. إِسْرَاف normally we speak about when it comes to expenditure, a person buying things, or in a financial context, that a person makes إِسْرَاف. He exceeds the limits, exceeds the bounds. He's supposed to pay 5 rand for something, he pays 50 rand for the same item. So we say he's making israf. But israf actually means where there is a limit, a boundary, a person now goes far beyond that. So israf can be found in actions also. Here Allah is saying those slaves of mine who have made israf in their gunas and sins. Not just a normal ordinary sinner, a person who breaks the commands of Allah here and there, but someone who has made israf in his guna. Day and night he is sinning, he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every guna and sin he's done, to the greatest extent. He's not just smoking cigarettes, he's addicted to drugs. He's not just speaking to some woman or some female on the phone, but he's gone all the way with her. Whatever it may be, whatever guna and sin, he's done it to the greatest, to the highest limit. So Allah addresses a person like this and says, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. You also don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives, or Allah will forgive each and every sin of yours. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to see? وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Allah says, turn to your Rabb. Allah has already extended His hand of rahmat towards us, His hand of forgiveness to us. Allah wants us now to take the first step towards Him. As Mu'anayim Sahib Dham Barakatum always says, take those baby steps towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will come running to us. So, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Turn to your Rabb. وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. Submit before Him. Make tawbah for your sins. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ. Allah says, Allah cautions, before punishment comes to you, then you will not be assisted by anyone. You won't be able to help yourself. Your family members won't be able to assist you. No superpower of the world will be able to help you if the punishment of Allah comes. But Allah gives you a chance. Before this, I'm telling you, turn to me, submit before me, and I'm ready to forgive you. There's an incident mentioned. It's an Israeli riwayat mentioned, which means that it's not mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but mentioned in the books of the past. Allah knows best the authenticity of it, but we take great lesson from here. That in the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, there was a woman who had a deep burning desire to have a child. But this particular woman was barren, she was infertile, she could not conceive. So she comes to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, she says to him, O Musa, you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Him to bless me with a pious child. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam raises his hands, Allahumma rzuqha waladan saliha. O Allah, provide for this woman, grant her a righteous child. The reply comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Musa, katabtuha aqiman. O Musa, I have decreed and ordained that this woman is infertile, and it's impossible for her to have a child. She will not bear, she will not conceive. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam says this to this woman. She breaks out into tears, crying and sobbing. She leaves his gathering and she goes. One entire year passes by. She comes back to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. O Musa, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me a child. Again he raises his hands. Allahumma rzuqha waladan saliha. O Allah, give her a righteous child. Same reply comes, Ya Musa katabtuha aqima. O Musa, I have ordained and decreed that she is barren, she cannot conceive. Again she breaks out into tears and she leaves. Another year, third year passes, she comes back. O Musa, make dua. Ask Allah. She doesn't lose hope, she doesn't give up. Ask Allah to give me a child. Again, he makes dua, same response comes. Katabtuha aqiman. She is infertile, she can't conceive. Nevertheless, she leaves this gathering of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. After some time, Nabi Musa alayhi salam sees this woman in the marketplace and she's holding a young baby to her chest. So in amazement now, he goes up to her. He says, Min ayna laki hadha al-walad? That you came to me so many times for dua. Allah responded that you are barren, you can't conceive. Where did you get this child from? So she says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted, blessed me and I conceived and this is my child. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam immediately raises his hands to Allah. He says, O Allah, you had told me that this woman is barren. She won't conceive, she won't have a child. How does she now have a child? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, O Musa, each time you told her, katabtuha aqiman, katabtuha aqiman, katabtuha aqiman, I have decreed that she is barren, she is infertile, she can't conceive. And she would raise her hands in the dead of night and make dua to me and she would say, Ya Rabbi katabtani aqima. O Allah, you have decreed that I am aqim and barren, wama zilta rahima. But O Allah, you remain rahim and full of mercy. She would raise her hands before me, although you have ordained me to be aqim, but you are rahim, you are full of mercy and rahmat, so you shower your rahmat upon me. Allah eventually gives her and blesses her with a child. So this is the rahmat, the mercy of Allah. We heard last night also, the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person who has committed guna and sin, and he thinks to himself, remember, shaitan will make this attempt, this attack on a person, that your life is like this, these bad habits of yours are from the time of childhood, and how many times you've tried to rid yourself of it, you've made tawbah, you've slipped, you've fallen, you try again, you just can't get rid of it, better you stay here, this is who you are. Person says, this is who I am, I'm a shaitan. I can't change my life. The other people are pious, they can go to the masjid, read salah, but I am who I am, and there's nothing I can do about it. This is the attack of shaitan. No matter what a person has done, no matter what amal he has done, what evil deed he has done, no matter what depths he has sunk into, Ulama say, if a person makes the statement that, oh Allah, my sins are so great, how are you going to forgive me? Then this is actually kufr. You're just believing in Allah because Allah's mercy is limitless. It can't be contained. One drop of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough to wipe out our gunas and sins. So this verse gives us a lot of solace, a lot of hope, that those who have oppressed themselves, they have made israf, they have exceeded the limits in their gunas and sins, Allah still says, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah is still ready to forgive. But as the next verse mentioned, we have to turn to Allah. We have to take that step, make that decision. And now in the month of Ramadan is the best time for us to make those decisions with Allah. Especially those who are in i'tikaf. The rest of us, we in the masjid as well, we coming for the programs, we spending extra time in the masjid. We have time on our hands, make those decisions with Allah. Sit down from the bottom of my heart, this guna, this deed that I have done, this evil that I am involved in, oh Allah, I am making sincere tawbah before you. I don't want to go back to it. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi would say, be honest with Allah. Be honest with Allah. You say, that person who can't wake up for Fajr Salah. So he would advise that, be honest with Allah. Say, oh Allah, I love my sleep more than I love the Fajr Salah. I love my bed more than I love the masjid. And I don't want to wake up. I don't want to break my sleep, but you make me do it. You break my sleep and you wake me up and take me to the masjid. Allah will do it for us. Even though we don't want to. A person fears, generally, we find, a person has this fear that if I give up my guna and sin, my life will become bland. It will become bleak. There will be no enjoyment, no excitement. At guna and sin, we've tasted the sweetness of it. So ulama say, just like a person who tastes poison, and he says, this poison is so sweet, if I give it up and I have some sugar, I'll miss out on all the sweetness. We haven't tasted the sweetness of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us the tawfiq, it's very easy to speak, but Allah give us the reality, that we taste the sweetness of His muhabbat, His obedience. As we find in the month of Ramadan, how nice a person feels. I'm reading salah, I'm fasting during the day, I'm trying to control myself, I'm not expressing my anger. Whatever sins I have, I'm trying to put it on hold, at least for the month of Ramadan. A person feels fulfilled within himself, that I'm making an effort, I'm coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Ramadan comes to an end, and then slowly this feeling goes away, and a person gets back to his bad habits. But this Allah can keep for the entire year. Just that we have to make that decision, make that effort, make that deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will do it for us. We continue with this kitab, which is titled Shauq-e Watan, Yearning and Desire for the Akhirah, for the Hereafter. As we mentioned two nights ago, Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullahi alayhi had written this kitab after seeing the condition of the people in India after a plague had afflicted a certain town. And he sees that the people of the town began to lose, or their morale was very low, and they lost all will to live. And those who remained, then they had a great amount of despondency. And he says that when I analyzed the situation, I realized that this was because of a lack of conviction in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that these people had become engrossed in dunya. Because of their engrossment in the dunya, they have no inclination for the akhirah, for the hereafter. And because of this, when some calamity, some test comes in their life, they think that this is the end of the world. There is nothing, there's no way out for me. And they lose all hope and all morale. So he explains in this kitab the various ahadith that I mentioned. We discussed 2 days ago, Tuhfatul Mu'min Al-Maut. The gift of a believer is death, is maut. Something a person should be looking forward to. Ulama explained that in this worldly life, when a person is going on a journey, and he doesn't know the road ahead, then he is afraid. And I don't know where the turns are, especially a person is traveling at night. He says, I haven't driven on this road before. The GPS is also not working. Perhaps the lights in the car, one globe is gone also. So he drives with caution and with fear. I don't know where the potholes are. There might be some camera ahead. There might be a sharp bend that is coming. So he's very fearful, very watchful. He's not driving with ease, because he doesn't know the road ahead. But similarly, when it comes to maut, barzakh, akhirat, and the stages after a person's life, because it's something we are not acquainted with, we haven't understood what happens after a person leaves this world, we are also afraid that what's going to happen. Death is something serious. What's going to happen when I leave this world? It's very scary. It's uncertain. It's unknown. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, therefore, he wrote an entire kitab speaking about the stages of life after death. When a person leaves this world, from the time his eyes close, what happens to the person, the entire system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says the person will acquaint himself with this, and it becomes a reality, it becomes something that is known to him, then the fear will go away. Because now it's something I know. I know what's going to happen. I know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to deal with me. So in this hadith, narrated by Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a believer is departing from this world and moving towards the hereafter, angels whose faces are glowing like the sun come down to him from the heavens. They bring shrouds and perfumes of paradise with them. They sit by him in such large numbers that they are as far as the eye can see. The angel of death, Malakul Maut, comes and sits at his headside and says, he addresses this person, O life which was satisfied with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, move towards the forgiveness and pleasure of Allah. Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. That soul, that nafs which was content and happy with the decree of Allah, that soul which obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now you are moving towards Allah's forgiveness and pleasure. The soul leaves similar to how water pours out of a water bag. In other words, with ease. There's no difficulty in the soul leaving the person's body. Although you may see it differently. Here one point to take note of, ulama explain, that we cannot gauge whether a person had a good or an evil death by the outward conditions that come upon the person at the time of maut. And this is mentioned by Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. She mentions that I always thought, as we also see it, that I always thought that if a person goes through a difficult sakrat, there's difficult conditions that come upon him when he is leaving this world, then I equated this to an evil death. That he had an evil death, a bad death. Until I saw the maut of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I saw the sakarat, the difficulty, the pangs of death that came upon him. And then I realized that these outward conditions are not a sign of an evil death. Like how we find many a times a kafir, a disbeliever, people will say she passed away in her sleep, peacefully. She left this world. But outwardly it was peaceful. But the hidden system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something else. Ulama explain also that one possible cause why a pious person at times, there's some difficulty in his soul coming out. Or we see that there's a bit of suffering before he leaves this world. Like we find in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one possible reason for this ulama explain, one is that Allah had a certain status and level for this person that he wants to give him in the akhirat. A very high position in the hereafter. And the actions of this person were not enough to take him to that level. Although he was a good person, but his actions would only take him to a certain level. And Allah wants him to go higher than that. Allah wants to give him the highest gardens of Jannah. So in order to give him that, Allah brings about this difficulty. A little bit of taklif, difficulty at the time of maut. And the reward for that is, I will upgrade your status in the akhirat. This is one explanation for this. The second explanation ulama give, when it comes to the life or the maut of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very beautifully they say that the journey of the soul is such that it begins before our life in this world and it continues after the life of this world. Our body, we are only using during this world. So the soul was in alamul arwah before our bodies were created, our souls were there. And then in this period of our life, Allah paired the soul with the body. So the soul is linked to the body. And that soul and body will live for 60, 70 years, whatever it may be. And then maut will come, the soul will leave the body. The body is a capsule, it remains behind, it goes into the ground. And the soul will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a pious person, when his soul is leaving the body, because the body assisted him to obey Allah, the body allowed him to put his head down in sajda, to walk to the masjid, to give charity, to do good deeds. So there's a very great bond and friendship that is created between the soul and the body. And therefore at the time of maut, when the soul is leaving, this separation is painful. That I don't want to leave you because you assisted me. Now I'm going to the akhirat, I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I'm getting jannat because you, the body, assisted me in this world. So because of this, because of that relationship and that closeness that they shared in this world and the assistance that the body gave to the soul, now there is some pain at the time of separation. And you find the person who didn't do good deeds in this worldly life, then there's no friendship. The soul hates the body. That I came into you, you the vessel and container during my life in this world, and you didn't assist me to earn my akhirat, to make my akhirat. So therefore I'm ready to leave and go away very easily. So this is one possible explanation, Allah knows best. Continuing with this hadith, so he says the soul will leave very easily, similar to how water pours out of a water skin. Although you may see it differently, you might think that the soul has left with force, with difficulty, but in reality it's leaving with ease. The angels remove the soul, and once they remove it, they do not leave it in the hands of the angel of death for even the blink of an eye. So Malakul Maut, his duty is just to remove the soul. Then the angels of rahmat and mercy take over. They place it in that heavenly shroud and perfume. Ulama say, before we can give ghusl, they give ghusl with the water of Jannat. Before we can apply the itar or the camphor, then perfume from Jannah is applied. And before we can put the kafan of this world, the angels put the kafan and the shroud of Jannat. They place it in that heavenly shroud and perfume. The fragrance which emanates from it is like the sharpest fragrance of musk on earth. They then climb up with it into the heavens. Each time they pass a group of angels, the latter ask, who is this pure soul? They reply, he is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. This is his name. They introduce him with the best names with which he was called in this world. They continue in this way until they reach the closest heaven, As-Sama'ud Dunya, the first sky. From there they continue with him through the other heavens until they reach the seventh heaven. Allah Ta'ala says, record his name in the Illiyin. Illiyin is that place where the good souls are kept until the day of Qiyamah. And then take him back to earth. So this is the journey, very briefly. What am I explaining? When a person leaves this world, his soul goes into the heavens. And here it is decided, will he go to the Illiyin or Sijjin? Which we find in 30th para is mentioned, Inna kitab al-abrari lafi Illiyin. Inna kitab al-fujjari lafi Sijjin. So this is a temporary holding place before the day of Qiyamah. The soul goes up, it is recorded, if it's a good person, recorded in Illiyin, evil person recorded in Sijjin, and thereafter the soul is returned to the body in the grave so that questioning can start. So the soul is then returned. His soul is returned to his body in a manner most appropriate. We can't understand this fully. Two angels then come to him and make him sit up. They ask him, who is your sustainer and what is your religion? He replies, without any hesitation, he replies, Allah is my sustainer and Islam is my religion. They ask, who is this man who was sent to you? He replies, he is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They ask, how do you know this? He replied, I read the book of Allah, I believed in it and I affirmed it. Because of my iman, because of my belief, Allah has now made it easy for this person and he will answer with ease. He answers the questions of the grave with ease. Thereafter the narration continues, just a little bit more. A caller on behalf of Allah Ta'ala from the heavens calls out, my servant has answered correctly. Lay open a carpet from paradise for him and make him wear from the garments of paradise. Open for him a door leading to Jannah. The breeze and fragrance of paradise then reach him and his grave is expanded for him as far as the eye can see. A man wearing exquisite clothes and having beautiful perfume comes to him and says, glad tidings to you, this is the day which you were promised. He asks, who are you? I only see good on your face. The person replies, I am your good deeds. This is the form that his good deeds will come to him. The deceased then says repeatedly, O Allah, start the day of resurrection quickly. Start the day of resurrection so that I may return to my family and wealth. Not to say that he won't enjoy the stage in the qabr, but now he can see the Jannat waiting for him. That window that's open to him, he sees his Jannat, his paradise, and now he's waiting. That although he's enjoying, but he's waiting to reach the akhirat, waiting to reach the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for him. This is for a person who will take that concern, make that fikr for his islah, his reformation. He will try and correct himself. No matter what the challenges are, the evil deeds in his life, he'll make tawbah. And he'll create that connection, that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to give us all of these bounties and blessings. Allah give us tawfiq, inshaAllah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان اللهم بارك لنا في الموت اللهم بارك لنا في الموت اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم أدخلنا الجنة بغير حساب O my most forgiving Allah, most kind Allah, most merciful Allah, most tolerant Allah, most appreciative Allah, O my Allah, we have turned to you on this night, may Allah, with nadamat and regret in our hearts, may Allah. Oh my Allah, we ask you to forgive us, oh my Allah. Forgive us for all our gunas and sins, oh my Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, when the time of our maut comes, my Allah, protect and preserve our iman, oh my Allah. Allow us to live in a manner that is pleasing to you, my Allah, where you are pleased with us, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, as we have read in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the istiqbal and the welcome that you will give to a pious person. Oh my Allah, you welcome us like this also, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, record our souls in illiyin, oh my Allah. With all the pious, the anbiya, the shuhada, the salihin. Oh my Allah, make the questioning in the qabr easy for us, my Allah. Allow us to answer in the correct way, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, expand our graves for us as far as our eyes can see, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, in this dunya, if one fly, one mosquito gets into our room, oh my Allah, our entire night's sleep is disturbed. Oh my Allah, we can't sleep with one fly, one mosquito. Oh my Allah, in the qabr when there'll be snakes and serpents and scorpions, how are we gonna bear it, oh my Allah? Oh my Allah, we haven't tasted the sweetness of your iman, of your obedience, my Allah. We are continuing with ghaflat in this worldly life, oh my Allah. As though the day is not going to come when we will have to leave this world, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, grant us the reality, my Allah. Grant us the reality, let us put akhirat and maut in front of us, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, make us your obedient slaves, my Allah. Make it easy for us to obey every command of yours, my Allah. Oh my Allah, don't let us miss a single salah in our lives, my Allah. Whatever your command is at any given time in our life, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, you show it to us and make it easy for us to obey you, my Allah. Oh my Allah, distance us from guna and sin, my Allah. Oh my Allah, take it far, far away from us, my Allah. Ya Allah, even though we don't want to give it up, my Allah. We are weak, my Allah. We are slaves of our desires and temptations, my Allah. Ya Allah, but then to you pull us towards you, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, if you pull us, no one can pull back, oh my Allah. No one can oppose you, no one can question you, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, make the decision for our hidayat, my Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the reality of iman, my Allah. Grant us the reality of taqwa, my Allah. Oh my Allah, the month of Ramadan has almost come to an end, my Allah. We were supposed to obey you, my Allah. We're supposed to get closer to you, my Allah. Oh my Allah, still we don't feel anything in our salah, my Allah. We don't feel anything when we take your name, my Allah. Ya Allah, we become tired when we make dua to you, my Allah. We don't know what to ask of you and how to ask of you, my Allah. Ya Allah, you give us the reality now, my Allah. Make the decision for our hidayat, my Allah. Oh my Allah, if you give us hidayat, my Allah. Ya Allah, it will not cause any nuqsan and shortage in your treasures, oh my Allah. Your Nabi will become happy, my Allah. You will become happy, my Allah. Ya Allah, you don't want to see us burning in the fire of Jahannam, my Allah. Ya Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah. Wa na'udhu bika minan nar. Oh my Allah, oh my Allah, grant us a place in Jannatul Firdaus, my Allah. Oh my Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, let Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam call us to his house and Mubarak, oh my Allah. Let him give us to drink from his Mubarak hands, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, don't let him turn away from us, my Allah. Ya Allah, we abandon his sunnat, my Allah. We turned away from his way of life, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we took his way of life as something trivial, my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, O my Allah. Shower your rahmat and your mercy upon us, my Allah. Ya Allah, we read in Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. O my Allah, أَسْرَفْنَا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِنَا. أَسْرَفْنَا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِنَا. O my Allah, we have wronged ourselves, my Allah. Ya Allah, there is no guna that we haven't committed, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have no ikhlas and sincerity, my Allah. Ya Allah, we don't do things for you, my Allah. We do things for show and to show people, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have done every guna and sin possible, my Allah. But you promise, Ya Allah, you told us, la taqnatu. You told us not to lose hope, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have hope in your mercy, my Allah. We believe in your Quran, my Allah. Ya Allah, you said, inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Ighfir lana dhunubana. Ighfir lana dhunubana. Oh Allah, forgive us, my Allah. Forgive us, my Allah. Forgive us, my Allah. Ya Allah, you can change our evil into good, my Allah. Ya Allah, no one can stop you. No one can question you. No one can prevent you, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, make the decision for us, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, forgive us. Forgive our parents. Forgive our spouses. Forgive our children, our grandchildren, our progeny till the day of Qiyamah. Oh my Allah. Ya Allah, send down your rahmat upon us, my Allah. Upon each and every one of us who have raised our hands tonight, my Allah. Ya Allah, drench us in your mercy and your rahmat. Muhammad. If you will do that, may Allah, our life will be made in this world. Your obedience will become easy, oh may Allah. It will be difficult to disobey you and break your commands. Ya Allah, we ask you to take pity on us, may Allah. We are weak, oh may Allah. We are incapable, oh may Allah. Ya Allah, we don't even know how to ask of you, may Allah. Ya Allah, we don't know the etiquettes and the adab, may Allah. Ya Allah, take pity on us, may Allah. Ya Allah, we are very weak, oh may Allah. Ya Allah, you have mercy upon us, oh may Allah. Whatever good Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for, Ya Allah, you give us a share in that. Whatever evil he asked protection from, protect us. Keep us with afiyat, oh may Allah. Save us from sicknesses, from hospitals, from surgeries, from operations. Save us from crime, from murder, from hijacking, from robbery. Ya Allah, all the evils and difficulties and harms of this world, protect us, may Allah. You are the giver of afiyat and ease and protection. Oh may Allah, accept our ibadat, whatever we have done, our taraweeh salah, our fasting, may Allah. It's not worthy of being presented before you, but you are the one who accepts, oh may Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna, Rabbana taqabbal minna, Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'ul alim, wa tub alayna, innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Oh may Allah, you know the desires in each and every one of our hearts, may Allah. Ya Allah, you know each person, what he wants and what he needs, may Allah. Whatever difficulties that we are going through, Ya Allah, you listen to the cry of the heart and accept our du'as, may Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'ul alim, wa tub alayna, ya maulana, innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.